In this bonus episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I play White Canes Connect Episode 6, in which Lisa speaks with Denise and Katrina all about the Blind Women's Empowerment Conference coming up on the 15th of October.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 148 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this bonus episode, and today it's going to be White Canes Connect episode 6. It was very time sensitive. There was no way to get it out any quicker than doing it here, so I hope you enjoy it. It's all about the Blind Women's Empowerment Conference that's coming up on the 15th of October. In the show notes will be a link, and you can click on that to go to it on Friday, the 15th of October at noon. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hey there, PA Federationists, and welcome to episode 6 of White Canes Connect. My name is David Goldstein. I am the treasurer of the Keystone Chapter. And joining me, as always, is co-host Lisa Bryant. Lisa, how are you today?
I am doing great today, David. How about you?
I am also doing great. What do we have on tap today?
Well, I call this our girl power episode. I'm talking with Denise Brown, who many will know as the president of the Greater Philly chapter, but she's also been co-chair of the Blind Women's Empowerment Conference, which this year is celebrating its 6th anniversary. It's this Friday, October 15th, from noon to 3, and the keynote speaker is Sharon Maneki, who a lot of people will recognize that name as the resolutions lady from the National Convention. So Denise gives a lot of great history about how the conference was even born and what people can expect this year. But along with Denise, I talk with Katrina Towns, who is a Greater Philly member, and she was the conference's first keynote speaker. Katrina talks a lot about how painful it was to be so public. She shared at the conference what she went through medically, her blindness journey, bouts with depression. And although painful, she felt compelled to share it because she knew it was going to help other women. And that's exactly what happened. She talks about all the feedback that she got, how so many women came up to her and told her how much she helped them by sharing her story. And that's the goal of this conference. It's a time for women from all socioeconomic backgrounds, all levels of blindness, to share their stories, because in sharing, you encourage and you empower other women. So hopefully after this episode, more women will feel inspired and want to log on and listen to the conference. They're making it very easy this year. There's no pre-registration. A link will go out through the listserv, and you just log in at 12 o'clock on Friday, October 15th. So have a listen, and this is a really great conversation, and hopefully women will sign up for the conference. Hi, Denise. Hi, Katrina. So nice to have both of you on White Canes Connect. How are you both doing?
Great. Good afternoon. I'm doing well.
Good. So we want to talk about, this is kind of like a girl power recording or show today. Wanted to talk about the Blind Women's Empowerment Conference coming up. I know this is the 6th year. Denise, since you are a co-chair, wanted you to start with a history of how the conference even came about and your involvement with it.
Okay. And again, thank you for having us on here today to talk about this event. So I guess I'd have to start back in 2015, when I went to the state convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Washington, D.C. So I decided to go to their convention, went to the different events, met different people, and, you know, had a great time. The next thing I knew, in 2016, Lieber Robinson, who is now the president of the Greater Washington, D.C. chapter and first vice president of the NFB of Washington, D.C., told me that she had an idea and she wanted to hopefully get me to collaborate with her on the idea. So when we got a chance to get together, she told me about trying to put together a conference for blind women, of blind women, for blind women. And we would also involve, as far as the audience was concerned, any women could be involved with the conference. But we definitely wanted a blind female keynote speaker and panelists. So we tossed it around a little bit and we talked about what we wanted to have. We talked about having not just people speaking to the women, but also having blind women who were business owners to be part of the event. So we had vendors. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when we started this event, we were able to do things in person. So the first 3 years of the event, we had it at Shiloh Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. So in planning the event, we wanted a keynote speaker, a panel. We wanted vendors. We wanted a couple other individuals to do other things, like maybe do poetry or sing, so that we would have something extra going on in the conference. And we just wanted to send out and invite people to the conference and see how it would work. So initially, since it was in Washington, D.C. and in person, we first thought that, okay, so hopefully we'll get people from the DC area, maybe Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you know, those who could get to Washington, DC in a short amount of time. And to our surprise, we had a couple of people from, say, outside of those areas, sort of like Ohio and Indiana. And so this is how we started the conference. And mm-hmm. one other thing was, we wanted to make sure that we had women from all areas, all cultures, all races, all economic backgrounds, you know, whether you have a PhD or whether you were just working on your GED, but women who had information to give us that could help other blind women who could have been in their situation. So calling it a Blind Women's Empowerment Conference basically meant that we were sharing information definitely to help one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that first year, do you recall about how many people attended that first year?
I'm going to say the first year was approximately 40 to 50 people, mm-hmm. approximately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a registration fee, there was a cost. And basically, since this was done during the time of the NFB of DC State Convention, the funds, you know, helped their affiliate.
I was going to ask about how it came to be celebrated in October. So is that the answer because it coincides with their state convention?
Yes, it coincided with their state convention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that something like this came about. Just someone had an idea and wanted someone to support it. And this mm-hmm. is what we do. Like we bounce things off one another and support these ideas and we make it happen. So now here we are in our sixth year. And Denise, so I guess you've been on the planning of it ever since?
I've been on the planning since the beginning. And I also want to say that from the DC area, Gail Cephas and Gail Snyder in the first 3 to 4 years were also involved with the planning. And unfortunately, this year we lost Gail Cephas.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, that's pretty tragic. But I'm glad that this has been able to go on in her honor. So Katrina, you have also been involved with this for many years, because I remember you talking about this. Being in person seems like an eternity ago, but I do remember when we were able to come to the meetings at Associated Services for the Blind here in Philadelphia. You were talking about this conference. So this was a few years ago. And I believe, have you also been not only a prior presenter or panelist, but haven't you also been involved in the planning?
I've never been involved in the planning.
Okay.
But I was a presenter, a nervous presenter at that.
I find that very hard to believe.
I know. A lot of people say that, but I was nervous because, you know, I knew what I was going to talk about, but it's just, you know, I didn't know how it was going to come out. Let's put it like that.
Now, so, what year was this that you presented?
I presented the first year.
Okay.
Denise Brown came to me and asked me what I'd like to be part of the women's conference in DC. And I'm like, oh, sure, yeah. And then she told me what I had to do. And I was like, okay, sure. I can do that. But then, you know, when you get there, you're like,
oh, yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. You know, people, like, because I got an audience.
Right.
A live right. audience.
Right.
So I spoke on my multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. I spoke on, how it came about and where it came from. Mm-hmm. And I spoke on the type of employment that I had prior to me falling. And when I fell, that stopped me from doing anything. I became immobile from the waist down due to the MS, but the doctors could not tell what it was from at that time. So it took for me to lose the right eye in order for them to diagnose me, because I had symptoms of about 4 or 5 diseases. MS, Crohn's disease, lupus, a seafood disease, and one other one. I can't remember what that one was. So after that happened, I was afraid, because I'm like, I didn't know where I was going from there. I was afraid. I was feeling though that like I was the only person. Mm-hmm. And my sister even took me to Associated Services for the Blind in Philadelphia. And I got a cane. And I registered. And I also went to the orientation with Mr. Richard Gross. And then after that, I went home, put the cane down. Didn't want to bother anymore. And I felt like I could still do everything because I still had the left eye. I still drove. I still, fed my kids, did everything, did any and everything a mother would do. Mm-hmm. I lost the left eye in 2007, 18 months later. And then I really went into a deep depression.
Yeah.
And I felt like I didn't want to do anything. So I talked about that at the conference, and I talked about where I want to go, which I'm having a hard time because everybody is kind of, hours you can't get, or don't have the funding, So it's a lot, but I want to be a blind child's counselor. That is my goal. And I'm still having that goal fresh in my mind. It's just that, I just got a computer now. So now I'm waiting on authorization for a gentleman from BBBS who's going to teach me. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready and willing. So
what was it like sharing that experience? You know, you said you were nervous, but even aside from, you know, probably just normal nervous jitters, what was it like to be so open with people like that in public?
Well, like you said at the beginning, you couldn't believe it because I'm not normally jittery or nervous in front of a lot of people. But my goal was mainly to encourage, mm-hmm. and let someone know that it is possible to restore from blindness, meaning that you can still get up and try it again. That's yeah. my little saying I say to myself a lot now, even due to with the MS having me sometimes not getting out of bed. I just say, you know, dust myself off and try it again. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep trying. And speaking in front of everyone, after doing it, it was joyful to me to just be a part of, to encourage, to strengthen someone else.
Right.
And after it was all done, you know, the nervousness went away, you know, people pat me, good job. And I'm like, thank you. But I'm like, I don't think I did a great job, but you know, people still encouraged me after it was over.
I would imagine that it was somewhat cathartic too, mm-hmm. you know, like, yes. you know, just, you know, mm-hmm. finally to share it and also to get that kind of feedback from people. I can imagine it's like you said, it's a two-way street. You were yes. a blessing and you were blessed by the feedback. Yes. So I want to get back to Denise for just a second, and I'm going to hop back mm-hmm. to you, Katrina.
Yes.
Denise, when you are looking for panelists or presenters, Katrina's story is very powerful. What other kind of things are you looking for? I know you know, that's a testimony is always a win when it comes mm-hmm. to empowering, but what other kind of stories or people do you look for? I guess what I wanted to kind of get behind the scenes and talk about the participant selection process.
So, especially Libra and I, we would sit down and think about different conferences, national conventions, state conventions, blind women that we've met during those conventions, whether they were speaking at a particular session. And we kind of look at, you know, we definitely know we want a variety of people. We don't want to have everybody with the same story. Mm-hmm. And during this virtual time, this has helped us even more because we're on Zoom so much at somebody's panel discussion, somebody's talk. We're getting to be able to know more women from around the country, people that we've never heard of but have great stories. So that's when we sit down and, you know, I might tell her, you know, who I've heard. And like this year coming up, I don't want to tell you, you know, who's on the panel, but a particular female that's going to be on the panel, she has a story that definitely other single females should hear. And when you hear her story, you'll be like, whoa, she did that? Man, I had been thinking to myself about trying to do that. I didn't know that I could possibly do that. And, you know, knowing what somebody else has been able to do, you know, now you have a reference to go to, you know, because you might say, well, I'm going to make sure I get her contact information because I need to ask her some more questions. Mm-hmm. So basically it's basically looking at all the people that we've run into, we've met, we've heard speak on different panels. Sometimes people may recommend someone. Did you know so-and-so did whatever? Or did you know so-and-so had her own business? No, what is it? Okay, so that's what we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I pick a couple people, or, you know, at the time when Gail Snyder and Gail Cephas were also working with us, they might name someone, and then, you know, we might have a pool of about, let's say, 10 women. And then we like kind of just deliberate and say, okay, I think we should keep her. Oh, that's a great combination. Yeah, we need a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Somebody young, somebody on the young spectrum, somebody on the older spectrum. And like I said, definitely looking for different ethnicities. And that's kind of how we, so it's not like a something that, you know, we got to have, this person's got to have that, they got to have that, they got to have that. No, it's just people that we've come in contact with that we feel really could be empowering to somebody that's at the conference.
Now, do you normally limit the size of the panel?
Well, just for, you know, time purposes, we normally have four panelists. The four panelists will have about 15 minutes to speak each. And then our keynote speaker has approximately 25 minutes, a half an hour to speak. But then again, there will be time for question and answer. And okay, if you remember the first 4 years, we were in person.
Right.
So we would have the four panelists and maybe someone either do a poem or sing a song, like in the first half. Because see, then we would break for lunch. We were, you know, at Shiloh Baptist Church and then at the cultural center that we were at in year four. You know, we had a delicious lunch served to everyone. So the ladies that were at the tables had time to, you know, chat with one another, you know, possibly look at what the vendors may have had on their tables or thought about what they were going to purchase after the event was over. And then we get back and have, you know, possibly another poem or song and have our keynote speaker and then, you know, closing remarks. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, a 2 to 3 hour period. You know, we didn't want to make it too short, not too long, but basically the four panelists and the keynote speaker with the other items that we did, you know, it was not too much time and not too little bit of time, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Katrina, you had talked about the feedback you got and how people say you really encourage them. Do you kind of, well, have you presented more than once? Have you been on the panel more than once or been a keynote more than once?
Just on a panel once, but I also enjoy listening to the panel and the keynote speakers. Mm-hmm. I mean, some years I'd be in tears. Because that's how it come to me.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, you know, and then I still look at them and say, well, dang, if they can do that, then I know I can do, you know, what I would like to do.
Right. Right.
Or even if I don't do what I had my mindset to do, I can do something just as good as that or, and, you know, more empowering. Because mm-hmm. I also thought about being an advocacy, going to some of the public schools in Philadelphia, talking about blindness to elementary and junior high. I just want to be able to try to get a group together that would be willing to do it first. Mm-hmm. And then probably also maybe go down to the school district of Philadelphia and talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I believe you will do that. I believe you will be successful at doing that. Either one of you can speak to this, how you've seen the conference grow over the years. I know, Denise, you said about maybe 40 or 50 people attended in person that first year. I actually joined virtually last year, and I'm sure those numbers have swelled over the years, haven't they?
Well, I think in person, the most we may have had was approximately 70. Mm-hmm. We may have had more people that registered, but maybe they weren't able to get there because of bad weather or something. But last year, I know that we looked at the numbers at one time and it was up to 298.
Wow.
So being virtual,
yeah,
it has an advantage of giving us more people that are able to attend the event, that are able to take advantage of the event and learn about possibilities.
Yeah.
The main drawback of virtual, you know, of course we all want to be in person. And one of the drawbacks is that we don't have the vendors, you know, the in-person female vendors. So mm-hmm. I am hoping, you know, and I'm sure we are hoping that possibly next year, you know, if things go better in this world, that hopefully we'll be able to be in person again.
Now, do you have any idea of kind of general idea of geographic or demographics of where these 200 plus women were coming from?
Oh, they were coming from all around the country. From even Canada.
Wow.
Even somebody was from Africa. But you know, Texas, Georgia, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Colorado, they were all over the place. They mm-hmm. were all over the place. We probably could have, if we'd have went down the participants list one by one, we might have captured every state, you know, do have affiliates in Alaska and Hawaii. And I'm pretty sure I know somebody that was on there from Hawaii. So we did the thing, as they say.
right. So, yeah, I was going to ask about how the experience has been virtually, how that has changed things. And I think you already, you know, hit on that. Is it definitely opens it up much, much wider in terms of people being able to participate. But there is that catch of, you know, not having people be able to, you know, sell their wares and just that whole in person. Like, I'm sure Katrina, after that first time, how many hugs did you get? You know, so you can't really get that on Zoom, you know?
Right.
But like you said, hopefully things will change sooner rather than later. But speaking of this upcoming keynote, tell us, Denise, more about this year's keynote speaker.
Well, this year's keynote speaker is Sharon Maneki. And I would say the majority of people know Sharon Maneki because she is the chair of the National Resolutions Committee. She is also a former state president of the NFB of Maryland. Mm. And that's what people know about Sharon Maneki. But Sharon Maneki has had a whole career, mm-hmm. which, you know, I'm going to save for the women's conference. But, you know, like I say, you know, being in the NFB, Sharon Maneki, oh, yeah, Resolutions Committee, yeah. NFB of Maryland. Okay, well, what else? She's pretty dynamic, a very nice woman. In fact, a few years ago, she had contacted me to you know, present a resolution at National Convention, and I've also had contact with her. Also, at one time, she was a member of the National Scholarship Committee. The year that I came on, she was still a member at that time. So she has a lot. I'm sure the ladies will really be impacted by what Sharon Maneki has to say.
Yeah, yeah. And both of you chime in here on the goal of this. We talked about empowering, about sharing information. Let's talk a little more about what it does mean to, like, what do you want people to come each year? What do you want them to come away with?
Well, I want everybody to know that, first of all, the sky's the limit. We've had people on there who have, had drug addictions. We've had people on there who have been abused domestically, and I mean really abused. But the way they overcame, the way that they stepped back up, and one time certain people in domestic abuse would not say he hit me. Right. You know, it's like, oh, no. Oh, how'd you get that puppy? Oh, I fell. But, people had to tell people, you got to say who did it, so that these people can, get the correction that they need, whether it means to go to jail or whether it means that they have to go to some type of rehabilitation. But the way that some of the ladies just stepped up, I know why, Katrina said she had been in tears a couple of times. Some of these things, they really get you in the heart.
Yeah.
And then you have the triumphs of people who, they come from very tough circumstances, but they always had in their mind that they wanted to, have their own business, and the way they went about trying to get their funding or trying to get a building that they could rent. Just so many different things. So when you come out of there, it's like, wow. I mean, you have really been to like a revival, almost like going to church, And, just one more thing I'd like to add. Some people, okay, once they found out about the women's conference and they got to talk to some of the ladies that were there, for some of them, that was like their first NFB event. They never went to like state convention or a national convention, but in talking to some of the ladies who were there, they were encouraged to do a little more.
And that's what we want. We want not only to come away feeling stronger, happier, more confident, but kind of called to act.
Yes.
Katrina, what are your thoughts on what you would want women to come away with this year?
I would like for the women to come away with weight lifted off their shoulders. And like Denise said, it's almost like a revival coming from church. There's tears and then there's joy. And then there's, like I said, if they can do it, I can do it also. Or I may not do it the way they did it, but it will get done.
Yeah.
It's more like just, you walked in somewhere and encouraged somebody and somebody really needed that, because some women today, whether it's social, physical, financial, emotional, all the abuses above are hitting home today. They're hitting home more. And then with the pandemic, I think a lot of people are just going to be overwhelmed. They're going to be overwhelmed. And I believe that we will beat 290, 298 this year. Because more women going to want to know what it's about, or either other women have told them about it and they encourage them to come. And it's going to be huge eventually. But like I said, the main thing is encouraging and weightlifting, restoring people, restoring people.
And do you both think that there's still a lot of women who really need this space? We've seen a lot of advances, of course, within and outside of the blind community in terms of women, getting into more leadership positions, but just in terms of emotional, spiritual sort of confidence building. Would you agree there's still like some work to be done and there's still a lot of support women need? Would you both agree?
It still is. It still is. You know, this is one step, you know, and, you know, like we say, maybe it'll cause people to go even further, you know. You don't have to be, we're blind, but we can come out of the darkness. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. Any ideas on future conferences? Did you think of, and I know we're kind of in a weird situation now where everything is virtual, but, you know, assuming that we come out of this and can resume the in-person, have you thought about extending it to a weekend or just more than just the one day?
Well, I'd say so far we have not, but you never know. I'll get back to Libra and she's probably say to me, Denise, if you give me one more thing to do. No, it's a thought.
It's a thought, especially, you know, depending on where people are traveling from, you know. It might just make more sense for some people to have something maybe that night before or that day before. But we are getting ahead of ourselves. But before we talk about how they join, how they register, I just wanted to make sure I give either one of you a chance to give any other, you know, sort of parting words on this. Katrina, anything else you want to share about your experience as a presenter or how you might want to encourage some other women to participate?
The way I would like to encourage women to participate is just step out on faith. And I thank Denise and Libra for allowing me to have a chance. I mean, I wasn't as long as some of the women were with their, you know, preparations, but, you know, I felt as though I did my best and my best was good enough for me and for others. So I just tell women, step out on faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Denise?
Yes, I'd just like to say, you know, again, I'm thanking you for having us on today. And hopefully if we can get this up in time and we can spread it out so more people can listen to it. And if somebody hadn't thought about coming to the conference, maybe once they listen to this interview, they'll say, well, maybe there is something in it for me. You know, maybe I should be there also, because, you know, and maybe they'll tell someone else. So it's all about getting the word out. You know, don't keep it to yourself when you know something's good.
Yes,
that's right.
Let somebody else in on it.
That's right. So go ahead, Denise, give it your best pitch. Tell us who the keynote is again, when it is, what time it is, how you register.
Okay, so the Blind Women's Empowerment Conference will be on Friday, October 15th, starting at 12 p.m. Eastern. Our keynote speaker is Sharon Maneki, former State President of the NFB of Maryland and Chair of the National Resolutions Committee. And this year, you do not have to register. We are just, we sent out our flyer within the last week and gave you the information. And next week, we will send out the Zoom link. So anybody that I've already sent the flyer out to, I'll double back and send out the Zoom link. And that's how you get in. You just come in through the Zoom link. And hopefully we have enough Zoom space for all the participants that may decide to come in this year. That's something else that we may have to talk about, but we definitely want to make sure we have enough space for everybody.
We're
hopefully ladies only. We did have at least one man that was in there last year, but what can you say? I think he learned something too.
Yeah. Who?
And I'd like to thank you also again, Lisa, for inviting us to this platform.
It was absolutely my pleasure. And we'll try to get you in a little earlier next year. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you ever been?
I came last year.
Okay.
Virtually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I actually had quite a nice exchange. I do not remember the woman's name, but I identified with her because she is high partial, and some of her experiences about, you know, that she shared in her traveling, I just really, really resonated with her. And we had an exchange then. And I kind of remember an email follow-up too. So I was very blessed by it.
Okay.
Yeah. So Denise, if people have questions before that flyer goes out, what is the best way to contact either you or Libra? What kind of contact information would you like to share?
Well, since we're doing this on our sort of our Pennsylvania platform, they can contact me at dbrown8827@aol.com.
Okay. Well, ladies, thank you. This has been great. Like I said, next year we will have you on a lot earlier. And maybe we can have one of your former panelists again. Katrina, thank you so much for sharing that. I actually recently had to share a lot about how I came to terms with my vision issue, and it's not easy, but it does help others. So thank you for making yourself available and being so transparent. Denise, thank you for the great work that you are doing with this, and much, much, much success in the years to come.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks, ladies.
Thanks again to Denise and Katrina for coming on. And Lisa, what a great conference that sounds like.
Yeah. And you know what I love about it? I love how it started out with just two women talking about an idea. You know, how can we more empower? You know, I hate to overuse that word, but it's a great word. How can we really encourage and empower women within and without the outside of the Federation? And it's grown so much from its first year, 6 years ago. So I think it's just a great thing. And I really hope a lot more women come on board and support it. Men are welcome as well. So, you know, if you want to listen in and learn something, men, don't feel intimidated. You're welcome.
Okay. And again, that's October 15th, if you're listening to this beforehand at noon. And I'll have contact information and links in the show notes so you can follow there. And yeah. I would be remiss if we didn't bring up at least one more time what's coming up Saturday, October 16th. And again, if it's after October 16th, you've missed it. And you know, sorry about that. But Believe You Can 2021, the talent show presented by the Keystone chapter of the NFBFPA. And Lisa, it sounds like we've got a great lineup scheduled.
Yeah, countdown is on. We're down to the last few days of sound checks and prepping. Once again, a tremendous lineup of talent. Almost every genre of music is going to be featured. We've got Christian music, we've got classical, we've got jazz, we've got guys, we've got gals, we've got young, we've got older, I won't say old. I mean, it's just a great lineup. So I really hope people can check it out. And I'm looking forward to the voting process and just having another great successful year at this.
Yes. And prizes from $150 for first place, $100 for second, and $50 for third. Yes. And again, the audience will pick who gets the prizes. So really excited for that. And finally, before we get out of here, is the state convention. You can check out all the information on the state convention. It's coming up November 11th through the 14th in Harrisburg. Go to nfbp.org/convention. All the information is there. make your room reservations. The information to contact the hotel is on that page as well, but you can register for the convention right on that page. And Lisa, have you done your registration yet?
I have done my registration, but I do need to put in my hotel info.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. So we will be there and hopefully recording an episode of two of White Canes Connect. So we look forward to seeing you there. And when you do see us there, make sure you give us some ideas, some feedback, whatever you want. Please, no physical violence if you don't like us the way we do the show. But I am looking forward to seeing folks in person and talking to a lot of folks that maybe have some ideas for us.
Yeah. And prior to the convention, we'll be featuring folks who are involved in the planning. We're going to have people on who do the tech for us, some representatives from the various divisions. So we will have a lot to build up the hype for a state convention.
Yeah. Looking forward to doing those episodes. Should be a lot of fun. Lisa, another great job on the interview. Thanks again to Denise and Katrina for coming on. Thank you, the listener, for checking out this episode of White Canes Connect, and we'll catch you in another episode. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks, everybody. See you next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode of the I Can't See You podcast. It'll go in the books as episode 148. I really do appreciate you listening. If you've got questions, comments, show ideas, please reach out 646-926-6350. Please leave your message. You have up to 3 minutes. Leave your name and town, and if it's okay to use your voice on an upcoming I Can't See You podcast episode. Again, 646-926-6350. You can also reach out via email, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. That's icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. And of course, show notes are available for this episode, icantseeyou.com/148. I can't see you. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence. It's only 7 letters long. So it's icantcu.com/148 for the show notes. Thanks again for listening. I hope you're well. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.